I'm speaking today with Maria Cahill with the Pacific Northwest Family Circle, an organization of individuals who have lost family members to police violence. And I'm also speaking with Lynn Spitaleri-Handlin of Extinction Rebellion PDX. And along with many other groups around the region, they are sounding the alarm about the federal power grab. And each organization has drafted a separate and important letter that have many, many signatories now speaking to that federal power grab and to the implications of the deputizing of 50 Oregon state troopers, along with more than 50 Portland police as federal agents in the run-up to the election. So can we talk a little bit about some of the specific concerns that you have about the federal power grab and what that looks like? Maria, do you want to start out?
Yeah, absolutely. So we recognized early on, probably around, I think in early August, that it was August 4th, an article came out that said that Edward Sinzing, a Portland resident, was accused of setting a fire in a Multnomah County building, a Multnomah County courthouse. And he was charged with a federal crime. And the reasons for this were very flimsy, like, oh, Portland received COVID-19 funding. And also there was some paperwork for people who had federal charges in that office and some people in that building who had had federal charges. And so, oh, we have the authority. And in fact, the previous district attorney helped the U.S. Attorney of Oregon, Billy J. Williams, to prosecute this as a federal crime. And so this really was very alarming. It was 4 days into District Attorney Mike Schmidt's new term of service. And there were articles saying like, oh yeah, we thank you so much to the Multnomah County District Attorneys for helping us. But Mike Schmidt won in a landslide election because of his reformist policies around policing and around a number of other issues around the criminal legal justice system. And we were very concerned that this was a federal power grab that not only prevented the district attorney from using his discretionary power to decide what should happen to Edward Sinzing, but it took away power from the local elections.
Okay, and Lynn Spitaleri-Handlin, the letter that was drafted by Extinction Rebellion PDX to Governor Brown speaks really specifically to the implications of deputizing those Oregon State Troopers and Portland Police. Do you want to talk more about that?
Yeah, it does. So Extinction Rebellion wrote the letter to the governor just in response to the governor's lack of response to the Black Lives Matter protests, and the response that she did have was to deputize the state and local police and give them federal powers. And our concern is that, you know, the Black Lives Matter protests were sparked by police violence against Black people, and the response has been more police violence against lots more people, exacerbated by the federal deputizing of state and local police. So, yeah, we're real concerned, as everybody should be, about this very ugly escalation.
Yeah, and I just want to read a little section from that letter where you said, speaking to Governor Brown, in her unified law enforcement plan, there is not one word about the well-documented police brutality inflicted on the Black community of Portland for generations, nor the excessive force used against activists, medics, journalists, passersby, and the neighborhood residents during protests against that brutality. And then, you know, the letter goes on to speak about, you know, the use of projectiles, the use of chemical weapons, and all the rest of that. And so rather than addressing the massive police violence, you know, the longstanding police violence against Black people in Portland in particular, but then this escalation of police violence, Kate Brown instead gives impunity to a federal presence in the city and really escalates the situation significantly.
Yeah, and currently the police are already pretty much unaccountable for all their bad actions, and this just gives them far more power.
And we have no way of really holding federal officers accountable. Billy J. Williams is an appointed official. He's not an elected official, so we can't get rid of him if we don't like what he's doing. I was able to get his email address, but it was through someone else who had worked with him. It's not like you can go to the U.S. Attorney of Oregon website and get an email address for Billy J. Williams and let him know what you think of him or his work. They're already, as Lynn smartly pointed out, there already was very little accountability for our local police, but at least we elected a district attorney who could prosecute police. And when they move up into the realm of federal deputization, a lot of things change about the laws, right? State laws no longer apply. So there's all sorts of legal ramifications where we can't sue officers for their actions, and they're allowed to do things that the local police aren't allowed to do. You know, police commissioner Ted Wheeler banned tear gas, but he knew that this deputization was coming and that they would just ban Portland police from using it, but he can't make a federal law that bans the use of that.
One of the things that we know from the JTTF struggle is that Portland police, under I think it's Oregon state law, ORS 181-575, police are banned from spying on protesters in the absence of indications of criminal activity, and federal police are not under that same restraint. So they can now, you know, the Portland police that are deputized can now spy freely on activists in Portland. They can be using investigation of the Black Lives Matter protests as a kind of gateway into investigating climate protesters, investigating this sort of full range of political activities.
Yeah, somewhere during the summer, Ted Wheeler was publicly outraged about the federal police coming to Portland, and he came to one of the protests and got tear gassed because Fed police bad, and now he is welcoming them with open arms. And why is that? Where was the change? It's not like he was great before, but I have real concerns about that. And, you know, I don't know if you all have seen the article in the Oregonian.
This is Ted Wheeler's quote, basically
yes.
Saying that he seems to be totally welcoming federal intervention in the run-up to and in the wake of the election, saying that he welcomes thoughtful, balanced ideas, that's a quote, how they might work with local and state enforcement to, quote, help us get behind the violence and criminal destruction on our streets, and saying that he would be a fool to push away the feds and, quote, and I won't, unquote. And so now we have dozens of organizations in Portland across the city. People are now mobilizing under the auspices of the Defend Democracy PDX, which is part of a nationwide movement to defend the election. And now folks who are out there exercising their First Amendment rights in the wake of corruption, we've seen all kinds of indications of things that could go wrong with the election. And now those folks will be facing potentially federal law enforcement in the streets. And I'm going to let you both sort of speak a little bit more to how that federal law enforcement so far has looked in the Portland streets, because it's been incredibly brutal.
Yeah, I'll be honest. My mom is immunocompromised and I have not been out in the street, but I have been in close contact with a lot of people who are out in the street. And I think, you know, the one thing that I want to comment about is what's really in play right here is a good protester, bad protester narrative. And this is the narrative that government always uses to say, And I learned this from Michael German of the Brennan Center for Justice when he came to our and spoke at our public event regarding our letter. So, you know, this is how the police justify greater and greater violence on protesters to the public, is they say there are these outside forces, these people who are coming in and damaging buildings. And they're really, and if you look at the statement from Billy Williams about the 74 protesters and what they were arrested for, the introduction talks all about how, oh, these bad actors are harming the struggle for justice, the murder of Black people and other people. I'm just going to speak on behalf of Pacific Northwest Family Circles and say that this is a problem for people of all races. It is certainly a disproportionate problem for Indigenous and Black people and brown people, but it can happen to anyone. They're saying like, oh, this is outside forces that are harming this justice struggle for this really terrible thing that has happened.
And you're talking, you know, about the 74 protesters who are now being prosecuted under the federal government rather than, you know, under
you,
the federal auspices. Yeah. And I mean,
yeah.
You know, I think you're pointing out earlier too that really there seems to be way more concerned about broken windows than there are in broken bodies, and absolutely generations of Black Portlanders who've been subjected to horrific violence at the hands of the cops. And you also point out that that violence is not just restricted to Black folks in Portland. But I think it's a good time also to point out that in the last couple of days, you know, Trump has been very vocally bragging about the extrajudicial killing of Michael Reinold, who was accused of killing a far-right protester at a Portland demonstration.
He wasn't even accused of it. He admitted it. So,
yeah.
And it was never investigated.
Right. Because
right?
Almost immediately within days of that, right?
He was by U.S. law, you can't incriminate yourself. But he went on a video and he said, I did it out of self-defense.
And he was already terrified at that point that he was being hunted, and that exactly what happened would happen, right? There was,
exactly.
You know, he was not afforded the benefit of a trial. Instead, he was basically killed by what amounted to an interagency death squad.
Yes.
And now we have a president who is bragging about that. And these are the same forces that presumably may be let loose in Portland in the aftermath of the election. And we have a president who's basically, you know, claiming that the only outcome of the election that he will recognize is if he wins. So now we basically have the federal forces operating under that president who are going to be policing the street response to those protests in Portland. And I think it's important to recognize some of the rather horrifying parallels potentially to the history of the rise of the Gestapo in Germany, which I'm referring here to an article called The Genesis of the Gestapo by Christoph Graf that really looks at the aftermath of Hitler's appointment as Chancellor of the Reich and the importance of gaining control of the Berlin police in the genesis of the Gestapo. So we hate to think that there might be some parallels here, but I think it's fair to say that so far we haven't seen a response from either Ted Wheeler or Governor Brown that rises in any way to the gravity of these events, and that both of these Democrat politicians may go down in history in infamy because of their collaboration with the most corrupt presidency in U.S. history.
Yeah,
without a doubt.
Right now, the governor, she can still redeem herself. She can come out against this and in support of democracy and in support of a democratic election and not having Fed police sent in during this time. Trump has said it's right in his playbook. He wants to send his troops into urban areas to repress protests if he doesn't abide by the results of the election, and allowing the state and the governor and Ted Wheeler asking the federal police to come in and giving federal authority just plays right into what current president wants to in order to hang on to power.
I just want to pivot for a quick second to Joanne Hardesty, right, who has stated her willingness to take over as police commissioner, but who has also, I think, suggested that the city not deploy the police officers who've been deputized as federal agents. And I'm wondering about the efficacy of that. I mean, it's at least one idea, right?
Police Commissioner Ted Wheeler could have just told the police not to go out at all.
Yeah.
Right? There would be no violence against people in the streets if police officers had just stayed home in the first 50 days.
The police that Ted Wheeler says he wants to get behind the violence and criminal destruction in on our streets, that's the Oregonian quote. That would be great if we could do that and have the police stop attacking and being violent towards people, because that's where the violence is coming from. By and large, it's from the police, not the protesters. So, yeah, go ahead,
yeah.
Stop the violence.
Portland United Against Hate put out a letter to Police Commissioner Ted Wheeler and said, the mayor of Portland, but I'm just going to keep calling him the police commissioner, and said, you have to stop the police riots. The police are the ones who are escalating this thing. Protesters will say that too. You know, we started with hula hoops and they came out and gassed us, and we came out with masks and they started beating us, and we came out with shields and they started shooting us in the head. So now we're wearing helmets. Who's escalating this? Their point, they had, I think, 150 organizations sign their, what they're calling the Stop Police Riots letter. Zero interest from Ted Wheeler.
Just horrendous. People really want to hear more about the Defend Democracy coalition that's emerging, if they want to know more about how they can get on board to pressure both Ted Wheeler and Governor Brown. Who should they contact? How can they get more information?
For the Defend Democracy is this coalition of groups trying to make sure that this election is respected and that every vote is counted. And you can go to the XRPDX website, and we will start having more information about that. We're going to be working between now and the election. People can sign on to a pledge, basically about voting and making sure that the votes are counted. And anyway, there'll be a link to that on our website, and then there'll be actions that will occur on election day and after.
That's part of a national movement, right?
It's part of a national movement. There's a local coalition, but we are tied in with the national movement. There's a Choose Democracy's national pledge is what our pledge is based on. So you can look at that website too, Choose Democracy, and they've got a national pledge. We're all worried about the same thing all across the country, you know, making sure this election is respected.
I've been talking today with Lynn Spitaleri Hanlon with Extinction Rebellion PDX and Maria Cahill with Pacific Northwest Family Circle. Thanks so much for speaking with me today.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you, Desiree. I really
appreciate
this.
When we post the show, we'll include links to the websites that were mentioned in the interview. This has been Desiree Helgers for the Oldham Variety Hour.
The sound of the drum is calling. The sound of the drum has called. Flash of youth, shoot out of darkness. Thank you.